There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Musicals Talk. This is Unfeatured Articles.
That's a good one.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to everyone's favorite podcast, Unfeatured Articles. Ooh. My name is Curtis Lang, and I'm here with my ever-loving host, James Keogh.
That's me.
And Riley McNamara.
Hello.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is a podcast where every week we delve into Wikipedia to find not necessarily the featured articles, but some articles you might say are unfeatured.
Unfeatured.
Yeah, that's where the
How did we get 26 episodes in before you did that?
I know. I literally thought about the show the other day. I was like, why have we been saying that we like go for comic? No, it's like unfeatured. That's what the tagline should be.
Articles that aren't featured. Yep. I got it. There eventually.
We're very good at this.
Yeah. Good speaking words.
How are we, boys?
Very well.
Good.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, good. We haven't recorded for a while. It's been like a month.
It's been so long.
It's been so long.
I've missed you all.
I've not seen you once.
Yeah,
since we record. We don't do anything else.
We record and then we go to other sides of the world.
We met doing this show.
We did.
Yep. Agreed. We never had any contact ever.
Nope. None.
Got some articles, boys?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I tell you a quick story first? I just need to
please.
So getting here, not easy.
Okay.
Okay.
Really hard for me.
Yeah. Public transport all around us.
Well, yeah, no, because I'm not a plebeian.
Ooh.
I'm kidding. The public transport system is beautiful and you should do it because you're helping the environment that way. However, I had to drive today, but my car's a little bit fuckies.
Not the Mirage.
Yeah, the Mirage. She's gone down. But you know why? She's been like overheating really hard and like smoke has been coming out of the bonnet. And I was like, what's going on? So I open up the thing and I look down at the radiator and I'm like, ah. So what I've done is the last time I put some coolant / water in, I forgot to put the cap back on.
Oh,
and
damn.
I've driven off and the cap has just fallen off the wayside into the bloody ether of Brisbane.
Yeah,
so you just had no cap.
No cap. And time. That's why the car is like going, excuse me, I'm very hot.
So touch warm in here.
Yeah. So like getting here, I had to like turn the car off.
Yeah.
Whenever I came to a stop, turn the car off, slide it into neutral. And then when the lights turned green, start the car again and kick it started again. Oh, man.
Poor Frost.
Something I like Mad Max. It was a trial and tribulation. Anyway, I just needed to vent that. Should we get into some articles?
That's
a bit of my life for you all. Who's going first?
I think I'll go.
You're going to go first, mate?
I've got a bit of an article here.
Oh, tell me now.
Okay, so back in, I think it was episode one, I spoke about the... the gentleman usher of the Black Rod.
Yeah,
I do remember that.
That very important member of British Parliament.
Yeah.
Today we're going to talk about another very important member of the British government.
Excellent.
We are going to talk about the Chief Mouser to the Cabinet Office.
The Chief Mouser.
The Chief Mouser to the Cabinet
Office. Chief Mouser.
Chief Mouser. His name is Larry.
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 Larry is cat.
Larry's a cat.
He's a cat.
Ah.
So does he just catch mouses?
Mice?
Mouses? Mises?
Spoilers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, here we go.
That's all fucking right. Brilliant.
Let's get into this.
The Chief Mouser to the Cabinet Office is the title given to the resident cat of the Prime Minister.
Good. That's so funny.
Lives at number 10 Downing Street in the UK.
You should get a cat podcast.
Should I?
Yeah.
I actually stole this straight from the cat podcast.
Oh, is that real?
He's only gone and done it.
Oh, I see.
You sneaky so-and-so. How dare you?
Cross promo. I love it.
Cross promotion.
And it was easy because I didn't have to think about it.
Fair enough. So he's the Prime Minister's cat.
So he's the Prime Minister. Well, yeah, kind of the Prime Minister's cat. There has been four of them.
Yep.
Officially, there have been four. There has been Humphrey,
Sybil,
Larry, and Freya.
Ooh.
And Chief Mouser of the...
Of the Cabinet Office. To
the Cabinet Office.
My apologies. So there's been, you know, a resident Treasury... been a resident Treasury or Downing Street cat employed as a mouser and pet since the reign of Henry VIII.
Oh my God.
Oh,
it's
dang.
Been going on quite a while.
But wait, then how have there only been four cats? Are these cats that live
They have
very...
nine lives.
That's true. You're right.
That's not how that works at all.
Yep.
I mean, why not?
Because science. Okay, keep going.
Okay, so yeah, this guy Larry has been he's been the chief Mauser since 2011. So he's been going quite a while. It was official records were released into the public domain on the 4th of January in 2005. The first recorded one was 3rd of June in 1929. Mm. They don't belong to the Prime Minister per se.
Okay.
Just there.
Yeah.
And have been given the title.
Can the Prime Minister have a cat who is not the Chief Mauser?
Like a side cat?
Just like a cat that he has.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think. I don't have to put
that much pressure on it. I don't
think so. Like,
yeah,
I understandably, some cats wouldn't want that kind of attention. They're exactly. not in it for the title.
They're not trained for it, you know?
So Larry is the Mauser at the moment. Okay, let's have a look at the list of them. I only mentioned four before. They're the ones to have been given the title officially.
Right.
There have been some unofficial ones.
Oh, okay.
Dating back from 1924. There was Peter.
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 What a regal name for a kid.
In 1929. He began his tenure in 1929. He ended his tenure in 1946.
Holy
so
mother.
Pretty solid 15-year reign, you might call it. the first ever one was in 1924. He started and ended in 1924. I don't want to know why. I don't want to know how. His name was Treasury Bill.
Good name
Treasury
for a cat.
Bill.
That's a great name.
That's a great name for a cat.
I'd name my cat that. That's great.
And then there was the Munich Mauser in 1940. Nelson, Peter II, Peter III. Peter, spelt P-E-T-A. Wilberforce.
Ooh,
that's a name.
I'm probably like pronouncing that wrong, but that's going directly to an NPC in my D&D campaign. and then after Wilberforce, there was Humphrey from 1989 to 1997, another big one. Sybil was there for 2 years with Prime Minister Gordon Brown. Humphrey was in with Margaret Thatcher.
Yep,
good.
Freya was 2012 to 2014.
Yeah, do you know why? She apparently... In November 2014, Freya was exiled from Downing Street, leaving Larry as the Chief Mauser.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Some Game of Thrones shit going
Damn.
On, boys.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that each of these have their own Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah.
Like, almost every cat on that list has their own discrete page.
Oh, my God,
page.
You're right.
Except Treasury Bill, which Except is Treasury- the greatest travesty of this age.
We need to know more.
How did he get such a great name? and so Larry is... Hang on, I've just lost the bit that I was looking for.
Oh, dang.
Keep looking, boys.
We'll go for time. Hello, welcome to this podcast. And our friend is...
Sorry. Larry is the 10th Downing Street cat and the chief mauser to the cabinet office.
Mm-hmm.
He's a brown and white tabby believed born in January 2007. By July 2016, when Theresa May became prime minister, he had developed a reputation of being violent in his interactions with other local mousers.
Oh,
namely,
dang.
The foreign office's much younger cat, Palmerston.
That's what I was looking for. Palmerston.
Palmerston.
The Foreign Office.
Palmerston also has his own Wikipedia article.
Of course.
This is ridiculous. I reckon season two might just be about all these cats.
Yes.
That podcast exists already.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let's do a podcast about cats.
Yeah, let's do it. James, you want to do it?
Yeah, you and me.
Cool.
All right.
Oh, that's ridiculous. But like what kind of training do you think it takes to be the official...
I don't know, man.
Mouser.
I think they just get a cat.
I'm pretty sure there is not any.
Garfield doesn't like mouses. Mice. So not all cats. Hashtag not all cats. You only have the right cat.
You proud of that one, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's not all cats.
Okay, fair enough.
It's not applicable to everything, I'll admit that much, that hashtag. But for cats, I think you got to be trained. I think you got to have the right skills.
And how's Henry go? Does he like a meese?
Henry brings in mostly birds.
Yeah, I was
horrifying.
There when he brought a
birds
were
and
you
lizards.
There as well?
I have cats and
yeah,
they have brought in things other than
right,
birds.
Right, so you would have been used to it.
Yeah.
Because if I remember correctly... Of the like five people who were there with you at the time, we made your sister Liz come down and deal with the bird.
Deal with the bird,
No, thank you.
So like, if Downing Street ever has a bird problem, just I'll send
Henry
my cat.
Henry gets the call up.
Yep, Henry gets the call up. It's a similar, it's like Garfield 2. You know when he goes to England, and it meets another Garfield. My God. Yeah.
What a show. My cats are useless. They can't even, I think one of my cats catches geckos, maybe. But that's about it. Like, he's bad.
Speaking of cats, cat. Zane's cat is going for your pizza,
that's my
Rob.
Pizza.
Oh, no.
She's going for your pizza. If you know.
A live wild pizza attack. See, Fifi catches pizzas, which I think would be not very good at Downing Street.
Infinitely more beneficial, though.
That's true.
I reckon Theresa May might dig a pizza party. Yeah, I reckon that might be her go-to kind of shindig.
That's the thing. If the cat catches pizzas, well, it'd be a pesky cat.
Well, where's she going to get the pizzas from?
That's true. It's a delivery cat. Yeah. He puts the little pizzas on his back. Yeah. And
it's not a limited budget in the UK. They've got to find the pizzas somewhere.
From cats. Do they like steal it from Domino's?
Yeah.
Gotta be. So in at the turn of the 21st century, the Treasury announced that the amount it was costing them to keep the Mauser was about £100 a year.
Oh no. Like that's to not have too it bad.
Like, to not own just to have it as the Mauser, still vet stuff as
oh,
well.
Oh, I see.
Like, I'd keep a cat as a meme for £100 a year.
Yeah.
That's a great meme. That's if I bad. Was the leader of the British Empire, yes. I don't think they're the British Empire anymore.
No, but I don't think that's how they work now.
So the whole thing is that £100 per year goes to titling this cat Chief Mauser?
Yeah.
Or just taking care of the cat in general?
I think so.
Huh. That ain't bad.
In January 2011, rats were seen in Downing Street scurrying across the top of number 10 for the second time during a TV news report, according to ITN. There being no incumbent Chief Mauser at the time, the Prime Minister's spokesman said there were no plans for a cat to be brought in to tackle the problem. However, the following day, newspapers reported that the spokesman had said there was a pro-cat faction within Downing Street, leading to speculation that a replacement might indeed be brought in to deal with the problem. Wow. So we're getting kind of different factions here. Some people are pro-cat, some people not necessarily pro-cat. Yeah. One might even say anti-cat.
Yes, man. Perhaps. I back it. But like also, just get a person. Like, don't they have like maids?
Do you want to be the dude who catches the rats?
Someone has it as a job.
You don't have to pay the cat though.
That's true.
And it wouldn't make
Is that cat slavery? Hold on. Is this slavery?
Well, don't cats enjoy? I mean, he gets free food and lodging.
That's true.
Yeah, but isn't that how slaves
work? But that's
how
slaves work.
Dude.
I
don't think we decided it wasn't okay. I think it was just not okay.
Yeah, I mean, fair. If only someone
but
isn't that,
but then, aren't we all? Don't we all just
slaves
we all
to
just
the machine?
We own our pets, yeah? So is that like...
That's any pets slaves.
Yeah. Wow, man, I don't think this is big enough for three white dudes
to tackle.
This
goes deeper than we could have ever expected.
We need to move on from cat slavery.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, cat slavery, we'll finish there.
Great.
Cat slavery.
Great.
No
oh,
more.
Oh, man.
Free the cat.
I rate Larry the Chief Mauser.
I like him.
Yeah. We moving on?
Good boy.
Let's do that.
Yep.
You wanted to go second?
I'll go second.
Please.
Yeah. Boys, I am going to talk about something not very nice, but then leads into something a little bit funny.
Okay.
Classic K. Lang. I'm going to talk about the Axeman of New Orleans.
Sorry?
The Axeman of New Orleans.
Axeman.
Yeah.
All right.
So the Axeman of New Orleans was an American serial killer active in New Orleans, Louisiana. So Riley did his cat crossover podcast. I'm doing a crossover with Murder in the Land of Oz.
Love it.
Both starring buddy
Jessica Cat Ryan. Yes.
Yeah.
So he was active around May 1918 to October 1919.
Sure.
Press reports during the height of public panic about the killings mentioned similar murders as early as 1911, but recent researchers have called these reports into question. The perpetrator was never identified and the murders remain unsolved.
Ooh, yeah. X-Files.
But. Okay, well, I'll go into a little bit of like this fucking serial killer.
Paint
like
us a picture.
I'll paint a picture.
Here we go.
So, as the killer's epitaph implies, the victims usually were killed with an axe, which often belonged to the victims themselves. So he'd come in, get their axe, kill them.
Oh, I see.
In most cases, a panel on the back door of the home was removed by a chisel, which were both left on the floor near the door, followed by an attack on one or more of the residents with either an axe or straight razor.
Ooh.
The crimes were not motivated by robbery, and the perpetrator never removed items from the victim's homes.
So he didn't want to steal anything.
No, he was just in it for killing people.
With their axe specifically.
With their axe specifically. Oof. The majority of the Axeman's victims were Italian immigrants or Italian Americans, leading many to believe that the crimes were ethnically motivated. So fucking, that's real shitty.
Yeah.
Many media outlets sensationalized the aspect of the crimes, even suggesting mafia involvement despite lack of evidence. It was the early, late teens of the 19th.
Sure.
20th century.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got your gangsters wearing the pinstripes and
Tommy guns.
Violin cases.
But this is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
A less plausible theory is that the killer committed the murder in an attempt to promote jazz music, suggested by a letter attributed to the killer in which he stated that he would spare the lives of those who played jazz in their homes.
Oh, no way.
And I'm going to read you the letter now.
Yeah, please.
And this is some... It's... All right. Esteemed mortal of New Orleans.
Ooh. Oh, no.
They have never caught me, and they never will. They have never seen me, for I am invisible, even as the ether that surrounds your earth. I am not a human being, but a spirit and a demon from the hottest hell. I am what you Orleanians and your foolish police call the Axeman. When I see fit, I shall come and claim other victims. I alone know who whom they shall be. I shall leave no clue except my bloody axe besmeared with blood and brains of those who I have sent below to keep me company. In hell.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
if you wish, you may tell the police to be careful not to rile me. Of course, I am a reasonable spirit. I take no offense at the way they have conducted their investigations in the past. In fact, they have been so utterly stupid as to not only amuse me, but His Satanic Majesty, Francis Joseph, etc. Okay.
It does sound like a jazz musician.
Yeah. They've been so utterly stupid, so not only do they amuse me, but they also amuse His Satanic Majesty, Francis Joseph, who I'm assuming is another killer, because I didn't know... The devil had a name.
Yeah, right.
No, it's Francis. Apparently.
It's Francis, apparently.
Guess the devil just loves jazz. Who knew?
But tell them to beware. Let them not try to discover what I am, for it were better that they were never born than to incur the wrath of the Axeman. I don't think there is any need of such a warning, for I feel sure the police will always dodge me as they have in the past. They are wise and know how to keep away from all harm.
Oof.
Undoubtedly, you Orleanians think of me as the most horrible murderer. Which I am, but I could be much worse if I wanted to.
At least he's honest.
Not comforting.
Yeah, like,
no,
but like,
that's not good.
I mean, I am a murderer. Like, let's not beat around the bush.
But I could be worse.
I'm
not that bad a guy.
I'm not the worst.
If I wished, I could pay a visit to your city every night. At will, I could slay thousands of your best citizens and the worst, for I am in close relationship with the Angel of Death.
Oh, Daddy Devil himself.
To be exact, at 12:15 earthly time.
Oh, God.
What a wanker.
12:15 of your human minutes.
Yeah. On next Thursday night, I'm going to pass over New Orleans. In my infinite mercy, I'm going to make a little proposition to you people. Here it is. I am very fond of jazz music, and I swear by all the devils in the nether regions that every person shall be spared in whose home a jazz band is in full swing at the time I have just mentioned.
Oh, gosh.
If everyone has a jazz band going, well, then, so much the better for you people. One thing is certain, and that is that some of your people who do not jazz it out on that specific Thursday night, if there be any, will get the axe.
Jazz it out is just like, why?
Jazz it out.
Just jazz it out.
That's got to go.
Come on, guys.
T-shirt.
Just jazz it out or I'll kill you.
Or I'll kill you.
Well, as I am cold and crave the warmth of my native Tartarus, and it is about time I leave your earthly home, I will cease my discourse. Hoping that thou wilt publish this, that it may go well with thee, I have been, am, and will be the worst spirit that ever existed, either in fact or realm or fancy. The Axeman.
The Axeman.
Now that is possibly the douchiest letter
right?
I have ever read.
Where did they find it?
Yeah, where did it?
Because that sounds like somebody going for a meme.
Or, yeah, well, that's what a lot of people
thought. Or the dude is flat out fucking insane.
Yeah.
Then he's killing people with axes, so yeah,
and not
possibly.
Robbing anything, like not trying to get in the game. He's just killing people for the fact of killing people.
Right.
The Axeman was not caught or identified, and his crime spree stopped as mysteriously as it started. The murderer's identity remains unknown to this day, although various possible identifications of varying plausibility have been proposed. On March 13th, 1919, a letter purporting to be the Axeman, the one I just read, was published in newspapers saying that he would kill again at 15 minutes past midnight on the night of March 19th. But was spared the occupants of any place where a jazz band was playing. That night, all the New Orleans dance halls were filled to capacity.
Oh, no way.
And a professional and amateur bands played jazz at parties at hundreds of homes around town. There were no murders that night.
Jesus.
Not everyone was intimidated by the Axeman, however. Some well-armed citizens submitted announcements to newspapers challenging the Axeman to visit their home. One promised to leave a window open for the Axeman, politely asking he not damage the front door. So. Yep.
Just a jazz loving murderer.
Just a jazz loving murderer.
Yeah, what a wanker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Official position of the podcast. Fucking shit, murderers?
Shit bloke.
What a bunch of wankers.
Don't like murderers.
Bunch of wankers. They can fuck right off.
Goddamn tryhards.
Goddamn, yeah.
Yeah, they're just tryhards.
if the person who sent that letter was faking it, also, what a fucking wanker.
Possibly bigger wanker.
The only way he couldn't be a wanker is if he actually is this immortal spirit, right? Yeah.
So he's just being honest.
Yeah, he's just a very honest, very murdery spirit who loves jazz.
Yeah.
Which, you know, fair.
I mean, we've all seen Lucifer.
Look, yeah.
The TV show. It's pretty much, well, I don't know if we all have.
Is there like a 20-minute scene where he just listens to jazz music?
I don't even know if he likes jazz in the thing, but he seems like he's the devil and he seems very suave.
I see.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Maybe he, yeah, maybe like, did the devil invent jazz, do you reckon?
I reckon the devil might have invented jazz.
Mm.
Surely.
Surely.
Oh, dear. My Favorite Murder, a true crime podcast, covered the story of the Axeman on the 60th episode entitled Jazz It.
Yeah, I did think about this. I was like, there are a lot of murder podcasts who have already. Yeah.
Ah, well, that's what you do.
Steal
I just wanted to talk about the jazz.
All that jazz.
All that jazz.
That jazz, jazz.
That's me, dumb.
Cool.
The Axeman of New Orleans.
All right. I was also going to talk about a kind of murdery sort of situation. Ooh. I'll save it for next time so we can kind of have a good balance.
Yeah. Let's not make everything.
Oh, you know what
murdery.
I just realized?
What?
That you've just made me remember. I think a couple of episodes I made a big call that I was going to talk about sex in space on this. I said 26.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about sex in space. Well, now I've got to do it next
you
episode.
Blew
so
it.
27, baby. It's happening.
Okay. I want to talk about a married couple.
Yep.
Who were alive kind of in the 20th century. They are Iona and Peter Opie.
Okay.
So Iona and Peter Opie were a married team of folklorists who applied modern techniques to children's literature, summarized in their studies the Oxford Dictionary of Nursery Rhymes and the Law and Language of School Children. They were also noted anthologists and assembled large collections of children's literature, toys, and games. Essentially, these two, let me talk about when they met. So, or the two of them specifically, and then when they met. So, Iona. She was born in Essex. She was a researcher and writer of folklore and children's street culture.
Right.
Children's street culture being like rhymes and like games, like Ring Around the Rosie and stuff like that.
Okay.
And just like, you know that S that everyone draws?
We all know about that everyone knows? Graffiti kind the of S, but no one knows where it came from.
That's children's street culture, right? She is considered an authority on children's rhymes, street and playground games, and the Mother Goose tradition.
The Mother Goose tradition?
The Mother Goose tradition being like...
Is it like Duck Duck Goose? Or?
Oh, just all the nursery rhymes and fairy tales.
Right, okay. Right.
Like old Mother Goose's rhymes, yeah, like yeah, illustrated. Right, yeah. She was elected a Fellow of the British Academy in 1998 and was made a Commander of the Order of the British Empire in 1999.
Seriously?
Yep.
Damn.
Peter Opie, born in Cairo, in the wartime British Protectorate or Sultanate of Egypt. He was a specialist in children's literature and the customs of school children. So pretty much the same as Iona, right?
Yeah.
He was the joint winner of the £1,000 Chosen Books competition and his autobiographical discussion, The Case of Being a Young Man. So two separate people who just happened by chance to love the same things like folklore and children's street comma. They met in World War II and married in 1943. So basically met during the war, married during the war.
Yeah.
So essentially after that, dedicate the rest of their lives to just documenting nursery rhymes and school children, like folklore and all that kind of stuff. They worked together closely, conducting primary field work as well as library research and interviewing thousands of children. In pursuing the folklore of contemporary childhood, they directly recorded rhymes and games as they were currently being played. So essentially, they're historians about like the Jagged S, you know, yeah, and like yeah, all yeah, this yeah. like whatever kids are up to these days. Yeah. They just like record
these damn kids.
It's this old married couple who just go from school to school interviewing kids and like
getting all their rides. It'd just be a lot of Fortnite at the moment, wouldn't it?
Right, oh. Right now, if they were still going right now, it'd just be like, all right, another. Yep, Fortnite.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, right, tilt cool. the towers. All right, fair.
Nice, nice. Proud of you. You got your Victory Royale.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially, they collected a bunch of children's books and ephemera, and it's they have together gathered the richest library of children's literature covering the 16th to the 20th century of yeah. children's literature. So, like, they've together gathered 400 years' worth of... collections of all this kind of nursery rhymes and folklore.
What's the name of these two?
Opie, Iona and Peter Opie.
Iona?
Speaking in 2010, Iona speaks of working with her husband as being like two of us in a very small boat and each had an oar and we were trying to row across the Atlantic.
Oh, adorable.
Interesting metaphor.
They're so adorable. They're in a boat together crossing the Atlantic of old children's stories. Also, we would never discuss ideas verbally except very late at night, which is interesting.
Yeah. I find nighttime, I think a lot of people do as well, nighttime is when the best work kind of gets done creatively, I think.
Yeah.
It's when all the good ideas start to come out.
They received a medal. They were jointly awarded the Coote Lake Medal, awarded by the Folklore Society for outstanding research and scholarship. They collaborated on several separate celebrated books and combined produced over 30 works. So Peter passed away in 1982, and then Iona kind of kept going for a bit. I don't know if she kept working, but they're just this lovely old couple, and they make me believe
she
in love.
She passed away last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
23rd of October, 2017. Oh.
And, if you look at their, like, selected works, it's like...
There's a lot.
There's a lot. And they've all wrote them together. So basically, from 1943 to Peter's passing, they just, like, worked together. When did Peter pass? 82. So that's, like, 40 years of just... them working together to do this thing, this like niche thing that they were both super, super passionate about.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
really cool. Good on you. Order of the British, Commander of the Order of the British Empire.
That's
quite cheap. That's big. Man. Rightio. Well, is that all you got on Iona and Peter?
Iona and Peter.
OP. Love them. Well, boys.
Cute.
Cute.
What a cute note to end on.
Right?
Alrighty. Well, thanks, we got a couple.
You're welcome.
We've got a vote now, don't we?
We do.
Yes, we do, yeah.
Almost forgot the structure of my own podcast there for a second.
Well, that's why you want to get one.
Riles, you went first, mate.
Yes.
Well, let's have a recap. You did the...
Did the Chief Mouser Larry.
Chief Mouser Larry. I did the Jazz Loving Axeman of all New Orleans.
Yes. And I did Iona and Peter Opie.
Indeed. So, Riles, what do you think, mate? How you feeling?
I don't know, because they're two very contrasting things.
They are. One's not very nice.
One's very wholesome, and one's...
as far away from each other as you can get.
It's a bit of a spectrum, yeah.
Yours would be, like... Yours sounds like something really dumb that someone wrote into a D&D game. I don't want to plug D&D again, but here I am.
You're like D&D boy at the moment, aren't you?
I like it.
And yeah, we've been trying to lock you down for a game for, like, 4 months.
Where have you been?
Where have you been, man?
Rehearsing.
Where have you been?
The show. And the other show.
Doing all the acting stuff I make you do.
Doing all that shit.
What are you thinking?
I don't know.
Come on.
You must decide, right?
Axeman.
Axeman from Ross?
Yep.
Right.
So, do you want to? I don't know. I'm going to go for the cat.
I'm also going to go for the cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Larry.
Larry the boy.
On you, Larry.
He's a good cat.
He is a
very good
cat. I like
that one a lot.
Oh, he's a good cat.
Oh, in the bracket, we should put him up against Business Cat.
Ooh. The cat section.
Cat section of
the cat corner.
Of the bracket.
We've had a couple of cat-themed articles, haven't we?
We have.
Cats are...
Because we had the...
Because we had KleptoKitty as well.
Yeah, KleptoKitty.
So we need one more cat, and then we can have, like...
A whole dedicated... A whole... yeah. That's so stupid. Yeah.
We're gonna
not swing our votes so that if there's ever a cat one, we're like, yeah.
Well, that's what we're all gearing up towards. Yes. Coming very soon, because we're episode 26 now. We've got
six to go.
Yeah, only six more episodes to go.
That's true. Why did we decide on 32, by the way?
Because it's a clean number. Fair,
yeah, bracketable.
Fair. Yeah.
Yep. We wanted to build towards something, I think is the reason. But why did we do this, guys? Why did we do this podcast?
Why did we start this? We're too deep in now.
We can't stop.
Well, yeah,
we're building to our big bracket breakdown where we're going to pit all of our favorite articles that we voted on this season and choose the ultimate winner of them all. Ultimate showdown of Ultimate Destiny. reference a very old YouTube video.
Yeah, I believe Demon.
Anyway, put that in the show notes.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, boys, we got anything to plug? What do we got coming up at the moment?
Ooh, what day is it currently?
Well, it's Tuesday the... Tuesday the 17th, so no. We've just finished
a
show.
We've done everything.
If you're listening, we've just finished two shows.
Two shows.
At two different festivals.
Yep.
So go us.
Go us.
Yeah.
Go the boys. Go the boys. we've all got... a second podcast.
Yeah, we all do now.
So let's plug those. Let's talk about those. Mine's not come out yet, but it will be in about 10 days.
Yep.
Mine is 1 Mile in Your Shoes, which I'm doing with your delightful sister, Liz Kehoe.
Yes, who we had on the show last week.
She's indeed. Yeah. It was because of that recording that we were like the kind of genesis. Yeah. But yeah, Liz and I realized that we've got two very different lifestyles, but we like each other a lot and we have great chemistry. So we decided that every week we're going to come on and we're going to choose a topic, an aspect of our lives out of the hat, and we're going to swap that aspect. So we're going to swap diet 1 week. We're going to swap, I think other things in there are like date night. So she's going to go on a Tinder date and I'm going to go on a date with her boyfriend, Dom.
I'd love to go on a date with Dom.
Yeah, Dom's a great guy, right?
He'd be
a good date.
Yeah, we're gonna swap businesses one day. So Liz is gonna come run a Good Time Boys rehearsal, and I'm gonna wax James's eyebrows.
Yep, that's gonna happen.
So I think that one's in the hat. That'll be coming out soon. But yeah, it's 1 Mile in Your Shoes. We're gonna have a real fun time with that one, and that is coming out the first episode on the 27th of July, and then after that, every Friday you can catch in on that on TNC. How about you, boys? What podcast have you got,
Riley?
As I mentioned earlier, I stole the article I did today, the winning article from today, from my other podcast, Everybody Wants to Be a Cat, which I run with Jess Kate Ryan.
It's a cat-themed podcast.
We talk about all kinds of things. We talk about cats in the news. We talk about our favorite cats from Disney movies. We talk about cat-related care tips for all you cat owners out there.
Amazing.
And every week we plug a lucky little kitten that's up for adoption.
That's adorable.
Best Friends Felines, who are a wonderful, wonderful company. And Zane actually picked up Fifi from Best Friends Felines.
Really?
That's where Fifi comes from.
Oh,
yeah.
Lovely.
And that's, I think, where that relationship started, if I assume correctly. Way before then. Okay. Disregard.
Disregard.
I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, they do great stuff. Check them out. If you're looking for a kitten or a cat, jump on there because there's some, just gorgeous creatures up for adoption. And James, what do you do?
He also takes care of a gorgeous creature, don't you?
Yes. What's that?
Your man Alex Smith.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was like, I just had gorgeous creature. And I was like, yes, I am. But what? Myself and Alex Smith, we record a podcast called My Song Suck, which is about his sort of very historied musical career through high school and all the kind of songs that weren't to the extent that... weren't as good as they are now. So we have to look at those. And we also get in guests from all around Brisbane to talk about their old songs and blah, 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 blah. It's a very good podcast, if I do say so myself.
It's so much fun to listen to.
Yeah.
It's a great podcast.
I don't think we're just saying that because we're mates of yours and Alex, but it is genuinely really interesting to hear kind of the musical process that you go through and kind of Alex's message of, everyone should just try and write stuff.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you write, the first stuff you're going to think it's terrible.
Totally.
So you just got to write the bad stuff before you can write the good stuff.
Totally. All right. Well, that'll about do it for us. Thank you to That's Not Canon for having us on the network. You can check out all their shows at thatsnotcanon.com. That's Not Canon Productions.com, rather. We are on social media. We're on Facebook. Unfeatured articles. Where else are we?
We're on Instagram, where we're also unfeatured articles.
And we're on Twitter, which we are unfeatured pod.
That's correct.
And I don't know if we've ever used it.
We'll make the Twitter. We'll try and get the Twitter a bit.
We'll spruce
that up. We're trying to do our socials a bit better.
Yeah.
But you can find all the episodes on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or any other podcatcher of your choice.
Indeed.
Any of the ones that we've already recorded and all the ones coming out in the future.
Yes. Subscribe and share us around if you can.
Oh, yeah. Share us with your friends.
Give us a rating. Give us some feedback.
We'd love that.
Yep. We'd love to know if you think we can improve on it, and we will ignore that.
Tell us if you think these outros can go any longer.
Yeah. I could say they could stand to go for a bit longer.
I think so,
yeah, almost the
episode
whole
episode 27, the outro.
It's just all outro. Nothing but outro, baby.
Nothing but outro.
Where we plug everything we've got everything coming up over the next year.
But we do like 10 minutes on every single podcast.
Not even stuff that's relevant to us. Just like, I'm going to plug this. This is a very nice glass.
Listen
to
5 minutes of every podcast.
Our theme song is Purgatory and Friends by Kevin MacLeod. Indeed. Thank you very much. And till next time, browse responsibly.
Bork, bork, hello.
Bork, bork, hi.
You know what you need to be doing? You need to be listening to the Floof and Papa podcast.
I'm Mel.
I'm Taylor. And we're going to talk about all things dogs.
Dog stories. Dog breeds.
Dog tips and tricks,
dog puns,
dog jokes,
dog
missing
everything.
Out if you're not listening, hit us up at the Floof and Papa podcast wherever you get your podcast. Tune in.
That's Not Gunner Productions podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.